Welcome to the MatAttack Pay-Per-View Predictions Podcast, here and exclusively on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. I am Matt Willis. Welcome to the MatAttack. Right. Okay, guys, this is episode 5 of the MatAttack Predictions Podcast, exclusively on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Jimmy C is on assignment this week, so we were supposed to have my nephew Ben join us, but he's unavailable for personal reasons. So I put a call out to someone to jump in and give me a hand, because although I've got a very special guest with me this week, I had to ask a friend of mine to tag in this week. An advocate is speaking for him, Graham Bagshaw from MGB Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to Matt Attack.
Thank you, but of course it's not me because I've already been on your show.
You have.
And Mason's already been on your show. So my picks today are going to be coming on behalf of 4-year-old Jackson. So we're going to have a crossover episode. Are you smarter than a 4-year-old?
Oh, thank you so much, Graham. I
knew you'd like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting beaten by a 4-year-old again. Yes. And, of course, so thank you to Graham for being Jackson's advocate. But, of course, my special guest this month for Extreme Rules, the one and only Super Kicking It with Kelsey. Welcome to the Matt Attack. I am humbled to have you aboard the show.
Well, I am honored to be here. I get to talk to you, Matt. I get to talk to Graham. It's like the best of both worlds here. Big fan of you both, so I'm just really happy to be on the show. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Kelsey, anytime. Right, let's get down to business, as they say. First thing we need to address is we need to address the title of this show. Graham, I said this to you on your show this week. What is the title of this pay-per-view called?
Well, I have a better response than what I did before, but I'm going to play along with you for right now. It's Extreme Rules, I believe,
yes.
Right?
And what is my problem with this, Graham?
That less than half of the matches have Extreme Rules in them,
yes,
is that correct?
I have a real problem with that. A real, real problem with that.
Can I give you the comeback for this now, though?
Absolutely, go for it.
I literally saw this less than half an hour before, and I thought you were actually on this feed, but you might have been setting up ready. Mm. How many of the matches for Hell in a Cell include a cell?
Only 2 or 3.
Okay. In the Royal Rumble, how many matches are actually a Royal Rumble?
2 now.
Okay, but you see the point? Not every match has to be that. That's like the center or the focal point of the thing. And once I heard that, I was like, okay, I'm okay with that now. I'm happy with that.
That's actually a great justification. I mean, that makes sense. But I do understand Matt's side, too, though. There should be more Extreme Rules matches because it's not like a huge Cell or a Royal Rumble. Those are like really specific type of match, bigger matches, and more gimmicky even than an Extreme Rules match. Extreme Rules match could be done all kinds of different ways, and that's why I think they could have more of them. I think it's a little different of a case than Hell in a Cell or the Royal Rumble, but I do see both sides here.
Absolutely. I mean, the justification they've done there is fine. I mean, I get that. But I remember looking at, like, Extreme Rules match pay-per-views going back to, like, the mid-2000s and things. One Night Stand started it all, really. Every single match on the card had an extreme element to it, be it like something like just something like simple like a submission match or a stretcher match, last man standing matches. I mean, I'm not saying they have to all necessarily be as violent as each other, but you know, it's not like I'm asking for it to be like a light tube on a pole match or something like that, because that would just be ridiculous. But it's the sort of thing that, you know, people would have expected from ECW back in the day. A chairs match. I mean, we've seen TLC matches at One Night Stand and Extreme Rules in the past. I just think that they've maybe missed a trick on this. I know it's maybe the PG era now, but it's really could have been a few more extreme stipulations, because one of the Extreme Rules matches on the card, 11 matches, including the pre-show, one of those extreme matches is on the pre-show, and you just thought they would have put that on the main show, but that's just my personal opinion. So, yeah, I just need to get out of my system. So thank you guys for giving your opinions on that, because that has been grinding me. As Graham knows, it's been grinding me ever since he was in England, actually. So,
but, you know, the thing is, like, it's almost it's hard to justify a lot of Extreme Rules match. You kind of touched on it a little bit, Matt. The PG era not having, like, blood and color, you know, allowed in the match. It's like, it makes it hard to believe anyway. So it's, to me, it's okay that there's not that many Extreme Rules matches, because there comes to be a point where it's like, well, this doesn't look that believable. You got somebody, like, getting hit with all kinds of objects, and then nothing's happening. Like, you know, no blood anywhere. So to me, I don't know. It's kind of a hard pay-per-view to work around in this day and age, the way WWE is now. Like, you kept comparing it to One Night Stand, which is, like, leaps and bounds to, like, what we're going to end up seeing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you think then maybe they should retire their name and go with the name entirely? Because Battleground, Battleground, which Graham went to last year with Mason, of course, that name's been completely retired this year. And Clash of Champions is gone now as well this year. Completely gone. I just don't... But Clash of Champions also had non-title matches on it, but that's another story entirely. But yeah, okay, well, I think that wraps up quite nicely, actually. We seem to have come to consensus. Maybe it needs to the name for pay-per-view needs to be changed, not the actual matches in general. Okay, I can work with that.
Right. I should get you started on Champions League football as well. We'll move on.
Yeah, because Champions League football usually makes me have a rant. Not PG, that podcast. That will not PG at all. Right. Okay, we'll start with the pre-show, which is The New Day versus Sanity in a tables match. I don't believe it's elimination either. I believe it's a standard tables match, which means first one through a table loses, I believe. Kelsey, making your debut. Go ahead.
I think that Sanity's going to win. They need a win here. If they don't win, what the heck is, you know, WWE doing with them? They are flipping great. I love them. I mean, I don't like them as much without Nikki with them, because she added such a great element with them. But to me, it's a must win for them. And I think WWE sees that. There's somebody that could be big on the main roster if they're used right. Don't kill them right off from the start. Give them a win here. So that's my prediction. They've got to win.
Okay, excellent. So you go for a hard Sanity win in this one. Okay. Okay, Graham, what's Jackson picked?
Now, I feel kind of bad about this, because I didn't tell him about the stipulations for each matches. I only told him the name, so that might have he might have picked differently if I'd have told him about these. So anyway, he picked Sanity, which really surprised me, because I don't think he has any idea who Sanity is. So I can only base it on the fact that he knows that New Day, they've been talking about push for individuals. So perhaps this might be a good way. If Sanity wins, then that could perhaps be the end of the New Day. They could be arguing amongst them, perhaps, and then they can go their own little singles route. So obviously, I'm trying to speculate, because he didn't actually have time to give me reasons, because it was such a late call on this one. Just had to give me a name. So I'm obviously hypothesizing on what he thinks. But I agree. Why put Sanity in that match unless you're going to give them a win?
Absolutely. Exactly the same I've given for this. Sanity, it's their first match on the main roster's pay-per-views, although it's not on the pay-per-view. It should be, in my opinion, because I think both these guys should be on the main roster in general. But having said that, you can say about pretty much every match on the card should be. And if they're going to bump one, then maybe it's one that certain people who are not here won't mind seeing on the pre-show rather than the actual card. Right, okay. Okay, so that completes the pre-show predictions. We're going to move on to the main card now. The order I put them in is the order I think they'll be in, but as usual, it may not actually go that way. But first one I've gone for is, ironically, the Extreme Rules match between Nia Jax challenging Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. Graham, who did Jackson pick?
Now, I didn't read out the full names for this one. I just told him Nia versus Alexa, and he very confidently said Alexa Bliss. Now, I don't think he knows who Nia Jax is either, but I know he actually has a song for Alexa Bliss. There's three people who he's created songs for. One, Benjamin Banks. He's a big fan of Benjamin Bank. Also Diamond Victor Griff, who's his tag team partner. Yeah. But actually, the first song he ever did, and I actually recorded it, he was in the shower, and I was like, what is he doing in there? And the shower curtain was up, thankfully, so I'm not going to get into any trouble for this. No. And I went in and just recorded, and he has a song for Alexa Bliss. I tagged her on Twitter. I didn't get a response, but it's kind of cute. He's definitely an Alexa Bliss fan, so I think that's probably his female wrestler, so absolutely. I don't think he needs any more justification than if you created a song for Alexa Bliss, you're obviously picking Alexa
Bliss. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love that. Kelsey, what about you? Who have you gone for? Alexa Bliss or Nia Jax trying to regain her championship?
I think it's going to be Alexa because I think they want to have Ronda versus Alexa at some point. So, I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be a title match, so technically she could have lost, but I don't know. I just see her retaining. The people in the back seem to be so high on her. I think she's going to keep the belt, so.
Exactly, again, the same answer I was going to give. Absolutely fantastic. Alexa Bliss is going over on this one, absolutely, because she is charismatic as all hell. She is phenomenal in the ring. I mean, I can't do with Twisted Bliss. I don't even imagine trying to do that. I can wrestle a little bit, but I can't wrestle anything like that. Alexa Bliss is phenomenal. Nia Jax, she's good in the ring, but I just think, I mean, when she had the title between WrestleMania and Money in the Bank, she had two title defenses, once against Alexa and one against Ronda. It did, and the Ronda one, she arguably would have lost that one. It wasn't a massively impressive run. Everyone was happy she won the title at Mania, but she did nothing to really elevate her. Her biggest thing was bringing Ember Moon up to the main roster, but not after Mania. You know, so Alexa Bliss for me.
It would help if WWE could decide what to do with her character. One day she's a heel, and the next day she's a face. And then it keeps flip-flopping backwards and forwards. And I don't think they know what to do with her right now either. And for that reason, I think she's probably going to lose as well.
Yeah, she can be kind of awkward. Not her fault. It's the way they book her and, like, the promos they give her. Like, go back to when she challenged Ronda. It was so awkwardly done at, like, some kind of award ceremony. And she was just like, hey, haha. Like, so you think you're all great, and you are great. We love having you. But do you think, you know, you can take this from me? And she said it, like, not as a heel. She said it, like, as a babyface. And then Rhonda's like, yeah, that's fine. I'll face you. And then her, Rhonda and Natty, like, go walk off laughing. It was so awkward. So yeah, you're right, they don't know what to do with her, and I think that's more evidence that it's going to be going to Alexa. The win is going to be hers,
and knowing our luck, they'll probably swerve us and go with Nia, but that's the way it goes. Right, okay, so it's a comprehensive...
Well, you do match three, Matt. I just want to check something. With you going last on everyone, you're not going to pick the same thing as me and Kelsey for every single one and then just claim a draw just so you can end your losing streak, are you?
I will say beforehand, I've actually already...
Oh, you got them on.
My
okay.
arms are
all
written right. down. So
just wanted to check. Okay, that's good.
How I do all my shows. Always do mine first because there's no accusations of me ever cheating. Okay. But I know... He's not even competing. Jackson's not competing, and he's what doesn't want me to beat his son by quote-unquote cheating. Fantastic.
I don't want you picking the wisdom of a four-year-old and plagiarising it for yourself. I just want to make sure you're playing fair, okay?
Wouldn't be the
These are extreme rules right here, and I know you wanted to keep it that way, so I want to make sure you're playing fairly on this one. All
Wouldn't
right.
be the first time I plagiarise a four-year-old. Right, okay. Okay, we're going to go to the Intercontinental Championship 30-minute Iron Man match. Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler with Drew McIntyre at ringside. This should be an absolute barn burner. Kelsey?
This one is one of the ones that's hard for me to choose. And I will admit here that I haven't been the best lately with keeping up with Raw and SmackDown. So, like, you know, I don't have a lot of context of what exactly has been going on, like, every little detail. I know, like, the general things. But I am leaning towards Ziggler because I just – it was kind of a surprise for him to win in the first place.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're not going to take it off him right away yet. But then that leaves a big question. What's Seth Rollins going to do, like, down the line? Maybe he'll challenge for a different title, or maybe they'll extend the feud. I read somewhere that people think that maybe that there's going to be a triple threat threat match in the future, possibly between Drew, Ziggler, and Rollins. That would be interesting. But here, I'm picking Ziggler to retain.
Ziggler to retain. That's a good shout, definitely. What Jackson got then, Graham?
This one surprised me as well, because I thought pretty sure he was going to go Seth Rollins, and he didn't. He went Dolph Ziggler. So I'm thinking again, he must have been basing on the fact that he's got Dolph Ziggler's got help in his corner who can certainly interfere, and I'm sure will at some point in the match. We don't know when. I'm sure, in fact, I'm going to guarantee it. There will be a Claymore at some point in this match. I think that's pretty sure that that's going to happen. And I agree with what Kelsey said. I don't think they're going to turn it over that quickly. There doesn't seem any reason to do that. And I think McIntyre's probably a little upset that he confused him with being Welsh when he's actually Scottish as well. So I think that's more of a reason as well to assume that he's going to retain his title.
I did love the reaction. Although it was PG on your podcast and put PG on this, we won't go into the details of where this comes from. Right, I'm also bizarrely going with Dolph Ziggler because I genuinely think that they're not going to take the title at this pay-per-view either. I hadn't heard about the triple threat idea. That's a great idea, actually, Kelsey. That actually could develop. But as to what's going to happen with Seth, my opinion is I think that he's going to be the person to challenge for the Universal title. Because I was saying, well, when I was guesting on Graham's show this week, he said, how would you improve Raw? Well, take the title off of Lesnar straight away, turn Reigns heel, and get Rollins to push him to the hilt. Rollins should be the Universal Champion. I think that's the perfect way to get the crowd back involved again. The crowd loves Seth Rollins. We all love Seth Rollins. But, you know, the Intercontinental Championship, it served a purpose for him. But it's not... He's bigger than the Intercontinental Championship. That's just my opinion. So, Dolph Ziggler to retain this time out, definitely. Sweet. We move brands. Go to SmackDown. The Shark Cage match for the Women's Championship. Carmella versus Asuka with James Ellsworth locked in a cage above the ring. Jackson's pick, please, Graham.
You know, I'm struggling to remember what he said, actually, for this one. I think he actually... No, actually, no. He did. He said Asuka.
Okay.
He went with Asuka and... I'd not really thought about this too much because I would say I wasn't doing a prediction show. I wasn't making any predictions. I have somewhat of an interest in James Ellsworth right now, mainly because Mason actually won an autograph of James Ellsworth from another podcast a few weeks ago. This was before he moved back onto WWE.
Yeah.
So I've been following that, and I do listen to the Durcast, which is really good. So that's sort of one of my interests. I would have gone with Carmella, so I've got to think why Jackson would have picked Asuka. I can only assume that this is the point where you've knocked her down repeatedly since she lost at WrestleMania. And at some point, there's got to be that bounce back. Mm. Carmella has had all the luck in the last few weeks. She's had James to help her out. She got James to spray Asuka in the eyes on SmackDown this week. At some point, she can't keep running her luck like this. So I'm going to assume that's what he thinks, that this is the point where it's going to end. So that's why he picked Asuka.
Asuka to win the SmackDown Championship. Okie dokie.
Yep.
Okay, Kelsey, what have you got, please?
This is another one to me that was difficult to choose. I could see it really going either way, but because of Ellsworth in the cage, I just feel like he's going to find a way to interfere. So I think Carmella will end up winning and retaining somehow, some way. And I just don't see, like, Asuka's been her big moment happening at this pay-per-view. Like, finally getting, you know, the title, like, is it going to happen here? I don't think so. So I think it's Carmella. Even though I've heard through the rumor mill, someone told me, someone who has, like, you know, backstage, my guy who does my betting odds for me on my show, he gets, like, backstage info sometimes. He says that, you know, people seem to be unhappy with Carmella. I don't know why. I like her. I like her as a heel, but I guess when they compare her to Alexa Bliss, like, you know, she's not as charismatic.
She's not quite.
They're both, like, the same type. But I like her. I don't know, but I still think it's going to be Carmella, at least for this pay-per-view.
Mm. I mean, I hate to keep going back to it, babe, but I do a lot of chatting back and forth with Graham all the time about this sort of stuff. And when I was on your show, I was talking about how much the Iconics used to grate on me all the time. And you used to say that that's how Carmella used to make you feel, but then you've warmed up to her in recent times.
I have. No, I'm a big Carmella fan now. Yeah, I love seeing her wrestling.
Mm. I do think that she'll end up teaming up with someone else at some point, because Ellsworth and Carmella could be brilliant if they put maybe like Iconics with them, or maybe Absolution with them. I think that as a like a super faction sort of thing, like a modern day women's evolution sort of thing, I think that could work quite well. I've also got Carmella to win, so I've actually also got her win by DQ, because I think she's going to push Asuka into a DQ finish. So Carmella wins by DQ and also retains the championship.
All right. Well, I don't remember these rules from when you said. So if it's a disqualification then, so she retains a title, she doesn't win the match. So what's the deal? Oh, I didn't tell Jackson this. I think you're bending the rule. You're stacking the house.
Carmella is going to win the match. Okay. If she wins by DQ, she still retains the title anyway. If Asuka gets DQ'd, she still retains the title, doesn't she?
Okay, all right.
Exactly.
All right, you got to do what you got to do to win, Maddie. I got it.
Hey.
This man needs a win. He needs a win.
I need a win, definitely, yes. But Carmella's going to win the match, is what I'm saying. Carmella's going to win. And if she wins, the match by DQ or anything, then she's going to end up retaining the championship. So I say Carmella's going to win. By DQ is how I think she'll do it. But okay. She's going to win the match. That's my personal.
And I would normally, I would have agreed with you, but those young Bagshaw boys seem to get some insight that I just don't pick up on. So I'm going to go with what Jackson says. I'm going to stick with us.
Bagshaw boys are better sore losers, just like I am.
Aww.
They are, though. We are. Us three are such sore losers. We don't like losing. Right. Okay, right. We'll switch back to Raw. We'll go for the Raw Tag Team titles. The Deleters of Worlds versus the B Team. Before we begin this, I noticed today the pay per view is this weekend, right? Which is the 15th of July.
15th because my wife's birthday is on Monday, which is the 16th. So yes,
good thing you remember that then.
it is. Correct.
The B Team earned this title match on the 4th of June.
Wow!
And I'm Jeez. Like, why did it take so long for them to schedule this? Why was it not on Money in the Bank for the first thing?
Hmm. I've got an answer.
Oh, I have an answer as well, actually.
Oh, go on.
It's WWE. Sorry.
That's a good point. It made me wonder if the tag team titles weren't being defended on the show, even on the pre-show.
Wasn't that when Bray Wyatt was out for a couple of weeks? Wasn't he involved in a car accident or something?
Oh, he was, yeah. That's true, too.
Actually, I'd forgot about that. Actually, I think I might
have been. Yeah, that'd be pretty tough.
But that was just 2 weeks ago, though, from what I heard.
Yeah.
I don't think it was that long ago. It wasn't like a month ago.
But it's still
I've lost a section of time being in England and traveling. Days don't mean anything to me anymore.
Well, I mean, I think, I could be wrong, but I think it was just like about 2 or so weeks ago. I saw it on Twitter. I swear it wasn't that long ago. But still, that could be a reason. I mean, I don't think they would have had a match like with it on the line like 2 weeks ago. So it wouldn't have postponed it that much. But that is a reason that he hasn't been around that much.
We'll let Graham.
When was the last time Brock defended his title? That's pretty long. That's got to be before June 4th, I'm guessing.
Greatest Royal Rumble, but we'll get onto that later.
Okay.
Because we've all got plenty to say about Brock Lesnar, I'm pretty sure. Right, so we'll get on to the actual prediction for the match itself. Kelsey, what do you think? B Team or the Deleters of the Worlds?
I think the delightful Deleters of Worlds. And it's because, I mean, building up to this, which has felt like it's gone on forever, there's been some fun stuff with the B Team making fun of them. But then they kind of drive it into the ground, of course. WWE tends to do that. They'll be like, oh, it works. People think this is funny. Let's keep doing it. And then it loses its kind of charm and appeal. But having said that, they had a lot of interactions where actually the B Team was coming out on top. So because of that, I think it's going to go the opposite way. And I think that the Leaders of Worlds are going to reign victorious.
Okay. Wicked. Graham, what did Jackson go for?
Now, I read this out to Jackson as Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt versus the B Team. And I know that he knows that I like Matt Hardy, and he loves his mower of shirts, sorry, Mower of Lawns shirt that I wear, and he even got retweeted by Matt Hardy with that. So obviously he's going to pick that, right? No.
Right.
He picks the team. He went to B team. I was like, where did that come from? My only assumption is, what's his role on my podcast right now? Oh, sorry, on Mason's podcast. B is for Bagshaw. So I'm going to guess that's why he went with B team. Now, they are undefeated right now, so it's not a terrible pick. They have got that momentum going forward. So it's probably the unpopular pick. Even though they're undefeated, the other team you would expect to win. So I can see where he's coming from on this one. So, yeah, he's going for the underdogs who are undefeated. He's going B's for Bagshaw. He's going to B team.
Okay. I've gone B team as well. I think B team are going to take the titles here. Mainly because I've heard a few rumours that they're going to break Fleet of the Worlds up already, which is a bizarre one. But I'm not quite sure as to why. I didn't catch the whole reason as to why, but I just got this. When you hear something like that, like you did WrestleMania predictions, when you heard about Seth versus Finn in Ireland, you knew straight away that Seth was going to become, was going to win the championship. The internet is a terrible place to pick up rumours sometimes. We're as guilty as that as anyone. We hear rumours and we spread the rumours. But mainly we're asking if the rumours are true or not. I did the same asking when I asked the View from the Top Row boys, what do you think of the rumours that Braun's going to cash in before before SummerSlam? And all Chad had to say was, boo, I don't care. And but that's what happens. Rumours just they build us up and then they dash our hopes. I mean, we all knew that Brock was leaving at Mania, gonna drop a title to Roman Reigns. We all knew that, and me and Graham looked like absolute idiots. Because we said it with such confidence, all the confidence of a 4th century prophet, and we were wrong. Absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. So B team,
a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing.
It is indeed.
It is.
Before we move on from this, have you noticed in the parodies how much Bo Dallas looks like Bray Wyatt without fake beard on? I mean, I know they're brothers, obviously, but
I was going to say, they're brothers, so
They
finally look like brothers, though, when he's like that. It's insane, and I think you could see when the first time he did it, Bray was kind of almost cracking up. You know, he almost popped in the middle of the ring. And I think that was because he was like, wow, he really is acting like me, and he looks like me. So I think that kind of made Bray laugh.
Absolutely. I mean, the comedy that B-Team does is great in the best of times. But I can't say for certain, because I didn't watch a lot of NXT when he was in it, or when Eva were in it. But have Bo and Bray ever gone one-on-one?
I don't think so, unless I'm not remembering it. Because I don't know. I'm a newer fan. I didn't know if you guys know that, but I have been watching since Bo came on the main roster from NXT, and I don't recall seeing that, but I could be wrong.
I don't remember it either. So, I got to throw one more rumor in that I'd heard as well, Matt. The opposite of what you just said, actually, that the B team are actually going to get thrown into the Lake of Rejuvenation or whatever it's called as well. So I don't quite know, and they could become a faction as well as a group of four.
I had heard that as well, and I'd prefer that, to be fair.
I would love that.
I'd prefer to see that than just. I'd love to see this, like, the Woken universe just growing, because Jeff seems to be embracing the Brother Nero role really well. And on that note, quite beautifully, we move on to Jeff Hardy with his Shinsuke Nakamura for the US Championship. And I know how much Graham loves Jeff Hardy. He loved Hardy Boys ever since the Attitude Era. I don't think he was even born in the Attitude Era. She's that young, bless her. but we'll skate over my ageism there, and we'll go on with Kelsey. Who are you going to go with for Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke and Nakamura?
Nakamura. I just feel like it'd be really cool if he got the title. So I could see that happening. It's like, what else is he going to do anyway right now? I think that's a great move if he does win. So I'm hoping that my prediction is right in this case and that Nakamura wins.
Okay, so Nakamura to win the US Championship. I'm guessing that Graham would like Jeff Hardy to win. But who's Jackson gone with?
Well, parenting gone right on this one. The boy did me proud on this one. He went with Jeff Hardy straight away. no hesitation. And I wondered, after him ignoring Matt Hardy, I was like, I think he probably said Jeff Hardy. I don't think he can say Shinsuke Nakamura, to be honest. That's kind of a tough name for a four-year-old American child to say. So I think he can say Jeff Hardy. But of course, why wouldn't he pick Jeff Hardy? Like I say, he's charismatic. He does all that. He's seen the moves. He likes the Swanton Bomb. He's seen all those things. And he put in a good performance on SmackDown. He came to the rescue of AJ. And not only did he took out Nakamura, he also took out... Was it Rusev in that match as well? I've watched so many matches since I've come back.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Yes,
I think it was, because Rusev was holding AJ, and that's when he brushed it. But he took them both out with a double clothesline, I think it was. So if he can cope with two people, he can certainly cope with one person. And I'm sure he's still suffering from his injuries with his meeting with the dog a couple of weeks ago as well. So I'm sure that would factor into his decision in picking Jeff Hardy.
Okay. I've gone with Shinsuke Nakamura for one reason only. Jeff Hardy's injured. He needs to drop a title.
He's injured?
He's been carrying nerve damage for the last... Since he returned, pretty much. Second match back, pretty much. So I think for no reason than that, he's going to drop a title. Shinsuke Nakamura, I think, needs a title run. Jeff Hardy, I love him. I think he's fantastic. I love the Brother Nero thing going on. But I think he needs some time off just to rehab the nerve damage, just a few weeks or so. And then he can come back at SummerSlam. And I think the Hardy Nakamura thing will go through the summer. But I think Shinsuke will win it this time.
You know, Hardy is over with a title or without a title. As you kind of hinted at, I feel like Nakamura would benefit from having the title more so than Jeff. Even if Jeff didn't take time off and, you know, nerve damage wasn't a problem, I think that he'd still be over if he was on TV without a belt. Doesn't matter. He's so charismatic. People love him. And I'm loving the face paint recently. Yeah. He's really stepped up his face paint game. It's, like, really well done.
Absolutely. It reminds me of, like, the late 2000, 2008, 2009, when he was feuding with CM Punk. The face paint was just amazing. I didn't watch the TNA stuff when he was doing the face paint, but that was a different Jeff Hardy, of course. Graham, you've got to say something else, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to add one more thing. Just a one-word answer from both of you, then, because he picked Nakamura. Is he going to win by a low blow?
I hope so.
I hope not, because I'm sick of seeing that low blow.
I am. Absolutely.
But, all right. But at the same time, I kind of want to see it as well. But I would like to see it if you hadn't overused it. But that's in my opinion. Right.
Well, that's like the joke of it now, that he overuses it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I guess they would feed into the joke or not, but I don't know. I would laugh for a second, but then it does get a little ridiculous.
Just a little bit. Right.
I might injure my eyes from over-rolling them if I see another low blow from him. But anyway, that's my problem.
Right. Okay, we'll continue with the SmackDown Tag Team title match, I think. The Bludgeon Brothers, Harper and Rowan, defending against the reformed Team Hell No, Kane and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's first championship match since being back from injury. Kelsey, you went first last time, so Jackson's up. Graham, what's he got?
Now, I've got to say, Jackson has listened to Kelsey's podcast as well, and he actually chastised the one time for... I can't remember exactly what it was. It was from New Japan. One of the wrestlers walked in and said something like, "Shut up, you idiots," or yeah, something like that. It was very minor. And he picked up on it straight away. He's like, "Oh, she said a naughty word." And I was like, "Oh, you're right. She did say." So I'm reading this to him, and I'm telling him who the match is. And I'm about to say Team Hell No. And I was like, well, I can't say that. So I came up with a comment. So I tried to change it to heck mid-sentence. And it came out as Team... Hellek, no, or something. I don't even know what he came out. You'll have to listen to it at the end. It was a total mess. And he responded, "Hellek, no." So I think he was trying to tell me it's Team Heck No, Team Hell No. But yeah, it got very confused, as you'll hear in the audio.
So
at the
he's
end.
He's gone with Daniel Bryan and with Kane.
And I'm sure he must realise that Daniel Bryan's in that, and he likes to do the yes chant as well. And he knows who Kane is because Mason's got one of those his wrestling figures. So I'm sure it's that. I don't think he would know the. It's the Bludgeon Brothers, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he would know them as well. He knows the Wyatt family, but so I think Daniel Bryan would be the main reason he would pick that.
Okay, cool. So he's gone of Hell No. Kelsey, who are you going with, girl?
This is, I keep saying it's difficult because predictions are never my thing, but I was like, this will be fun to do a prediction show. But I always say, like, I'm terrible at predictions, but when you really think about it, it's hard to do predictions in general because anything can happen in wrestling, and that's kind of like the beauty of things. This is a little complicated, this particular one, because I don't know where Kane stands with his political aspirations. I don't know what's happening, and if they did win, what would people think? Like, would that get him in trouble? Can he even be in the WWE for an extended time? Is this just like a fun few appearances and then he goes back to being serious and political? So I'm almost scared to say Team Hell No, but I'm going to say Team Hell No anyway and say I think that they're going to win because of the nostalgia factor, because they're fan favorites, and because, I don't know, at least for a few nights, you know, when it's all said and done, I think they'll have the titles for a little while. And then maybe the Bludgeon Brothers win it right back or something. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of them anyway, so it doesn't hurt me to say Team Hell No. The only thing that makes it difficult to say that is Kane and the political stuff. But yeah. Yep, that's what I'm going with.
The political stuff for Kane is a very good point. I didn't even consider that. I've gone with the Bludgeon Brothers to retain the titles because, again, internet rumors that you hear, Daniel Bryan's contract is expected to expire this summer. He hasn't signed a new contract yet. And they want to have The Miz versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam, by all accounts, which is a match we all want to watch. Let's face it. It's a match we all want to see. So I'm thinking that Bludgeon Brothers will retain the championships. So that's what I've written down here. It's not something I'm putting with it, because it gets a little messy if I do that. I think The Miz, who hasn't got a match, will cost him the championship.
Interesting. I like that.
Especially,
I can see that.
Especially with what happened on Miz TV last week.
Yeah.
That's true.
I can definitely see Miz getting involved in this. Because I don't know how much genuine heat there is between the two of them, but I know it'd be one awesome, awesome match to watch. And that's SummerSlam, which is going to be the next pay-per-view, of course, which is when you can hear Sam and Dan from the Is It Over Yet podcast try and take me on this time. Yes, I'm plugging my next show when I'm on this one. That's amazing.
Right. Well done.
Okay, so that's Bludgeon. That's Bludgeon Brothers for
Matt,
me.
The last time I heard a theory as brilliant as that one you came up with was on your last episode, when Diesel predicted that Natty was going to interfere in the Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey match. And at the time, I remember having that same reaction. I was like, wow, that's brilliant. And look how that turned out.
Well, he was absolutely right, just hit the wrong person.
Right.
Correct.
He was absolutely right about it happening, but he just picked the wrong girl, unfortunately, which is a real shame, because no one picked Lethal to win that ladder match. No one picked him. Right.
I got one thing. Kelsey's comment as well.
Go on.
I'm wondering about how long is he going to continue with it being the political with his political career. Sorry, remember how long Braun Strowman held his tag team title?
One night.
One night. And then, I got to go back to school. Once I've done with fifth grade or fourth grade, whatever, you're going to get these hands. Of course, they could do the same thing with that. They could win it, and then he's like, that's a slightly different situation. They don't have problems with people holding titles just for a few days.
Exactly, it's not New Japan, so...
Yeah.
But having said that, quickly I want to say, I kind of like this whole idea of, you know, obviously I want to see Miz and Daniel Bryan. That has chemistry written all over it, and it's been so long in the making. And if the rumors are true and he won't re-sign, I'm actually excited because it would really rejuvenate the non-WWE wrestling scene. Because it's already doing really well. And Daniel Bryan going out and getting back into like the independents or the non-WWE scene would be huge. The only thing that makes me doubt that happening is Brie Bella and all of her ties with WWE. I don't know if that would make him any less likely to leave. Maybe he will re-sign. But yeah, they're trying to rush things, obviously, to get everything done that they want to with him. That's a rumor I actually heard as well.
You can actually see as well. But wait, I mean, Team Hell No, I'm saying it, even though, because it is the name of their team. Team Hell No, being back together, I didn't see it happening. It's a nice little thing. It's a nice little nostalgia trip for us. Dr. Shelby's even back on Raw with Bayley and Sasha, who aren't on the pay-per-view either, which is bizarre. And so it's a nice little nostalgia trip. Jimmy actually mentioned that to me. It's like when he first started watching wrestling. I was like, 2012? That was when you started watching wrestling, Jimmy? Really? So yeah, he's new to the party on that one. Right. Okay, so we'll move on from the SmackDown tag titles. We're skipping back to Raw for this one. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens in a steel cage match. Graham is shaking his head. This is not a good sign. What's Jackson picked?
I'm speechless. This is, well, you're very familiar with Defend the Indefensible, Matt, from our fighting talk days. Kevin Owens, I don't even know how to begin to defend this one. It's inside a cage, so, well, of course, you can get into a cage. We've seen things like that happen before. I don't know how he's gonna get out of this one. He can't use his normal tricks of rolling out the ring and just running around for a little bit because he's trapped. I can't defend this one. I'm going to cut this one short. I have no idea. He picked Kevin Owens. I have no idea why he picked Kevin Owens. He's on his own for this one. I don't have his back on this one. Sorry, Jackson. No. Kevin Owens.
Bless you, Jackson. That's KO for... Jackson may get KO'd with that one, actually, to be fair. Okay, Kelsey, KO or Braun?
Braun! I have to do my signature Braun scream, but I do think it will be him. He's bigger. He's got to win, in my opinion. I think he's such a force to be reckoned with. It's funny, my buds at View from the Top Rope, they don't really like Braun. They're like, we're sick of it because it's too much comedy. I like it. I like it because, I don't know, his character is just so much fun and believable. And anyone who follows me knows that I don't really, like, praise WWE that much, but I think what they've done with Braun, although I'm the exact opposite of the opinion of View from the Top Rope, I like it. And I think it's kind of something that's been organic in terms of the crowd has just accepted him.
That was what I was about to say. He's naturally gotten over. He's naturally become what he is. I think I mentioned it briefly to you when you were over here, Graham. That's like the New Day. They came in, they were being pushed into these massive baby faces. Crowd weren't into it at all. Crowd were really against it. And then they flipped the switch, turned them heel, and then the crowd turned them face. The crowd will always turn someone they love into a baby face of their own volition. If they put... Strowman going up against Roman Reigns would always put him over the crowd. That's never going to be an issue. And Strowman versus Lesnar... The crowd's sick of Lesnar now. So, Strowman against Lesnar, we'll be absolutely fine with everybody. No one had a problem with it. I've gone Braun to squash KO because this is going to be so easy. I don't know if KO is going to have someone come and help him. Sami Zayn's out until next year, possibly even to the end of next year with his torn rotator cuffs. So, I wish Sami Zayn all the best of luck on that one. But I just think, I think KO's going down on this one.
Surprisingly, Matt, you've actually talked me into KO. I couldn't think of a single reason why I'd pick KO. You've just given me the very reason. Vince does not like it when the crowd chooses who they want their heroes to be. That's Vince's job. So Braun's going to get squashed for that very reason. Braun's getting very popular right now. Everybody wants him to win. Everyone expects him to win. This is just like we talked at WrestleMania. It's not happening now. KO is definitely the pick for this one.
Okay. And to give credence to your theory there, he still has the Money in the Bank briefcase, of course, so he stays strong, even if he does lose.
Well, true. I didn't even think of that. Good point.
That's very true. Good, yeah.
Although, that would be...
Jackson is so insightful, it's amazing.
Yeah, if Jackson beat me that one, I will eat my Liverpool shirt. Right, okay. Right. Okay, Jackson went first all time. Kelsey, you up first for Finn Balor versus Constable Baron Corbin.
I hate hate Constable Baron Corbin. I can't even say it. It's a tongue twister. I really don't like it. I don't understand it. It's weird. I'm hoping it's Finn Balor. He needs something. I don't know. He has had nothing really that prominent, and that's a shame. Although there's people out there who are not big Finn Balor fans. I don't know why, but I like him. He's not my favorite wrestler, but he's got a lot to like overall, and I would like to see him win, so I'm just going to pick him because I want it to happen. I don't know if it actually will, but that's my prediction. Finn Balor.
You're going for Finn Balor. You saw a bit of, did you see of him when he was on the Indies at all, when he was like Prince?
Yeah.
He was absolutely awesome as a heel, I thought.
But, yes, oh yes.
Yeah, so I'd like to see some of that in WWE at some point, but right now he's just so over the crowd, which is annoying that he's not being pushed more. Graham, who has Jackson picked?
Now, I forgot to mention this. I meant to mention this after about the sixth match. When I was reading the names to him, and I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting where he's coming up with his picks. I noticed he'd always pick the second name every time. And he eventually switched after the sixth match when he picked Jeff Hardy, because I read Jeff Hardy to him first. And actually, he switched on this one as well, so he didn't always go with a second name. So he was actually giving it some consideration. He immediately said Finn Balor. And I wish I'd recorded for just a little bit longer, because I'd switched it off. And he said, Finn always wins. So I think that's pretty obvious. If you always win your matches, it's pretty obvious you're going to pick Finn Balor, isn't it? And he might have heard Daddy mention as well that he can't stand Baron Corbin as well. So I might have swayed him a little bit on that one. So, yeah, Finn Balor. And I have a Finn Balor shirt as well, so I'm sure that might have influenced him a little bit.
Well, have a guess who I've picked, Graham.
I think his uncle Matt might have influenced him as well when he was in Clacton last week as well. He might have mentioned it in his ear, whispered it to his ear as well, possibly. I know you're a big Finn Balor fan as well, Matt.
I am a big Finn Balor fan. But I'm going with Baron Corbin.
Mainly because
I need to win. So this was my real shot in the dark, because I just think that Corbin's in with the authority now, but he is the authority. So I think that is this going to find a way of screwing him over? Elias seems to be teaming with him at the moment as well. Elias hasn't got a match either. Will Elias get involved? I'd like to think they wouldn't keep putting people involved in these matches, but it's sort of writing Raw does at the moment. For me, Baron Corbin is going over Finn Balor, and it hurts me to say it.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
It hurts me to say it, because I adore Finn Balor. Absolutely adore him. I can't do a coup de grace with my bad ankle, but it's... but I have done it in the past, and, you know... The thing is, Spike Dudley used to do that back in the day, and it wasn't even a finisher. Same move, just jump off the top rope onto the belly. And now Finn Balor makes it look like the most brutal thing that ever hit pro wrestling. And that is a difference between a professional wrestler and an amateur. No offense to you, Spike Dudley, you did a great job. But Finn Balor...
I love him! But I dressed up as him for Halloween!
But Finn Balor sells it better. I'm sorry.
That's true. I gotta go with you there, too. I've got to agree. But I do love Spike Dudley.
Absolutely. I didn't like the Bully Dudley angle. That was rubbish. But, yeah. Okay.
The coup de grace he did from the top of the ladder, that must have really hurt that guy. I'm sorry.
It would have hurt.
Yeah, it had to.
It would have hurt him, but I think it could have, doing it from that angle, trust me when I say his ankles would probably have been almost equally much anger. I'm pretty sure that his ankles in much better shape than mine, but it would have hurt him and pretty much as much if you're not careful. Wasn't that funny?
I think that's a pretty safe bet. That might be the best pick you've made all day.
Right, okay, we'll move back to SmackDown for the last time. The penultimate match on the card, AJ Styles defending the WWE Championship versus Rusev, probably with Aiden English at ringside. Who's Jackson gone for?
This boy is full of surprises. I'm going to say, he knows AJ Styles well. He has that poster up in his room. It's really Mason's poster, but it's autographed by him. And he went Rusev. And wow. I guess I've got to try and defend his picks. The only reason I can think that he picked Rusev is, obviously, the match is on Rusev Day. That's about the only logic I can think of. So I'm going to have to go with that. I disagree with his pick, but I'm going to say I'm not the wise one on this. I'm going to say from his perspective, he went with Rusev.
Okay, so you'd like AJ to win, obviously, yourself.
I didn't say anything about like. I guess I would. I don't really like Rusev, but I think AJ's winning again.
You don't like Rusev Day thing at all, do you? You don't like
it. I don't like Rusev Day, no.
But that's fine, that's fine.
But I can see appealing to a four-year-old, the repetitive nature of something. They do like their repetition. So yes. Every day is Rusev Day. He would love that. So I think it appeals perfectly to a four-year-old.
Absolutely. Kelsey, who have you chosen?
Oh, definitely AJ Styles. But I'm actually really excited for this match. I like Rusev. I like when he was a more brutal Rusev, like when he actually was strong and was on that winning streak. We're talking about years ago at this point, but I would love to see that same Rusev again, you know, appearing strong. But, you know, AJ Styles, he's the cover of the video game. That's another reason why I'm going with him. And he's a great champion in terms of being a great face of the company. So I think he's going to retain.
See, I actually did something a bit unique for this. I looked at both of them and I thought I could see AJ retaining it quite comfortably. I could see Rusev winning it because they're trying to turn him heel. It's not really working. So what I did was I put it on the WWE video game 3 times, simulated it 3 times, and all 3 times Rusev won.
Whoa. So these aren't even your predictions. You're testing out what's going to happen with like a computer.
Just that one, because I could see both of them. I couldn't make an argument against one or the other. So I had to go with the logic on that one. For me, I have to agree, Rusev, I think. Plus, I'm thinking Rusev Day. Can you imagine the celebration is going to be on Rusev Day for them to actually celebrate and win the championship? I think it's going to be mental, and it will annoy Graham so much. That's part of the reason why I want to see Rusev win it.
The only thing that could make your prediction for this, or how you came about your prediction worse for this, is if Kelsey announced that, obviously being from the Two-Faced pod, I assume that's partly to do with the Two-Faced character from Batman, is that on your pick, you flipped a two-sided coin and then decided which one it would be, and came up heads, and then you made your pick on that. That would be about the only thing that could make this worse now at this point.
Well, hopefully it won't come down to that one anyway. Right. Okay.
That's fun.
Yeah. The main event for Extreme Rules 2018 is more than likely going to be the big dog, Roman Reigns, versus the Dominator, Bobby Lashley. We suspect that probably the winner of this match will eventually face Lesnar at SummerSlam because of how it's been built up to be. I'm looking forward to seeing the match personally, although the build is just tiring me now. As I was saying to Graham the other day, it's just tiring me watching the build for it. But the match itself, I'm looking forward to seeing. Kelsey, who have you picked and why, please?
I am not looking forward to seeing this. I have to agree with View from the Top Rope, who I was listening to their podcast that was released today. Chad and Diesel were saying they don't really care about this match and they don't think it should be the main event. I agree. I don't think it should be the main event. And it's hard for me to pick a choice on this one because I know Vince probably is in the back wanting Reigns to go against Lesnar. So that would like kind of be like maybe he's going to win. But then again, Bobby Lashley, you know, just kind of getting into the groove of things. Another win would be great for him. But is that really going to be a draw? Brock Lesnar versus Lashley? I mean, I want to see it. But is Vince going to really want that? I don't know. It's so hard. I don't know what to do on this one. It's almost like I'm just going to pick out the year.
Video game 3 times and then see what happens, Kelsey.
Well, I don't even have the video game, so Matt's cheating. I would Matt play the video game 3 times and see what happens, but I can't. So he's got the leg up on me on this. So I'm just going to pick out of thin air, not cheat or anything.
For the record, I did not cheat. I couldn't decide between the two, and I may as well flip the coin. I'm most of it at the corner on that one. Anyway, in any case, Who are you going to go with in the end then?
I'm going to go with stupid Reigns. Reigns.
Reigns to win. Okie dokie. Who's Jackson gone for? Or do I need to guess?
Like I said, this is so unfair. Jackson has 30 minutes. Jackson didn't even have 30 minutes. You gave me 30 minutes to get prepared for this. Jackson had like 5 minutes to prepare for this. And you're playing video games. Anyway, this one absolutely shocked me. I would have bet the house on him picking Roman Reigns. He didn't. He picked Bobby Lashley. I was so surprised by this one. And actually, I asked him, I was like, well, why do you not think Roman Reigns is going to be win? Because I was so surprised by it. And his answer is absolutely perfect. Because Bobby Lashley is going to win. Can't argue with that. Why is Roman Reigns not going to win? Because Bobby Lashley is going to win. That's how. Perfect logic. I just loved it. I thought it was great. I cracked up. When you hear the clip at the end, you'll hear me. I totally didn't expect that from him. I did not expect him to come up with that answer, and I didn't expect him to come up with that reason either. That's faultless logic, Matt. You can't argue with that. Why is Roman Reigns not going to win? Because Bobby Lashley's going to win.
The logic is sound from a 4-year-old.
It's so pure.
So pure.
It
so
is.
Innocent.
He it's like no their idea. Minds aren't corrupted by all like the rumors, all like the normal wrestling fans' preconceptions and all that stuff. Like, he's got the most pure opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. However, he's got the same opinion as me. Because I will show you.
Hey!
Oh, okay,
Lashley was who I've picked. And the reason I picked Lashley is because I want to see Lashley versus Lesnar. I want to see Lashley Lesnar. I just think that Reigns, it's time for Reigns to step back from the world title scene. I mean, you've had enough chances. I'm sorry, but anyone who kicks out of, was it 5 or was it 6 F5s at WrestleMania?
My God. I don't even know.
I mean,
I didn't even really watch much of that match. I skipped through most of that match. I couldn't care less about that
I'm
match.
Pretty sure it was. I'm pretty sure the 6th F5 that kept him down in the end. I am sick of Lesnar. I'm sick of Reigns. I'm sick of them both being anywhere near that world title picture. I need Bobby Lashley to be the dominator that he can be. I need him. I want him to squash Reigns. That's not going to happen, of course. It's going to be a drawn out 25 minute affair, but. It's what I want to happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't need a video game to predict this one. Lashley, definitely, for me, is the man who's going over. Because Vince, every now and again, just throws a swerve our way. Because we didn't think that Samoa Joe was going to win to get the title shot against Lesnar last year. Never saw that happening. He deserved it, though. We thought Reigns was going to win it. He didn't, obviously. So this... This is Lashley's time, and if he doesn't win the championship against Lesnar, that's fine, because it's throwing Project Cash in straight after him. But Lashley deserves the opportunity to go against him, because if Lesnar is out of the way out the door, be he facing his drug ban or not still, Lesnar versus Lashley is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity at SummerSlam. We've got to see it. That Lashley versus Lesnar... would be fine main eventing SummerSlam, and it would sell.
I would love to see it. I just don't know. I hope Vince thinks of it the same way. But like you said, I like how you said, you know, sometimes every now and then he does pull a surprise. Like, and then I have another example to support what you just said about how sometimes Vince does, like, let us be surprised. It's the Royal Rumble. When Nakamura and Asuka both won their respective Royal Rumble matches, that was surprising. I didn't see that happening. So you're right. Maybe it will be Lashley, but I'm not changing my pick because I'll just stick by the rules and stick with my original pick. But I could see your logic, and I would love to see that match way more than Brock versus Roman. I don't want to see it again. But this is Vince. I don't know. I don't know what to think.
How many times have we seen AJ versus Nakamura recently? He doesn't mind having the same people fight multiple times. I do like the idea of UFC versus UFC, though. And I would much rather see a different match than see Reigns versus Lesnar again.
Mm. And Lesnar, not Lesnar, Lashley's at least always stayed in the business as well. I mean, he went to TNA for a bit, or Impact, of course, and he He's dotted around a bit. He's done a bit of UFC, yes, granted, but he's never trashed the business. He's always had a lot of respect for WWE because WWE gave him the break he's always wanted. Would Lesnar be where he is now without WWE? In the past? No way. No way in his stretch of imagination. He got through FCW. He went through WWE. He then said, I don't want to play your game anymore, Vince. I'm going to go to American football. Didn't work out for him. Minnesota Vikings, wasn't he went to?
Yeah, that was it. The Vikings.
Yeah. And then he ended up going to UFC in the end. And that was a good home for him. Don't get me wrong. But then he came back and it's like... Not blow me away.
Right. It's like he's phoning it in, you know, with his performances.
Absolutely. I mean, Heyman's the only reason I keep watching him.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people feel the same way as you, and I feel that way too.
I mean, Paul Heyman's amazing. I mean, I've heard talk they did get a high-level position in WWE. An exciting new position. About time. To be fair, he should be in the Hall of Fame. He's certainly that caliber. I mean, Graham, you were listening to Think About Wrestling Managers, a podcast a few months ago, I seem to remember. Talk about Bobby the Brain Heenan being the favourite.
Was it
the WPAN? Was it the wrestling podcast about nothing? Because they did Wrestling Managers.
The one I listened to was, is it Got Till 5? I think that's what it's called, where they talk about, they do a top five of things. So yeah, that was the one that I'd heard that one on, yeah.
Yeah, they said Bobby Brain Heenan. My pick would have been Paul Heyman. I mean, he's had a few failures, granted, but which manager hasn't in the past? I personally think that Heyman is the greatest manager in wrestling history. He can make anyone look good. He made the Big Show dominant, for him's sake, in 2003, he made the Big Show look like the monster he should always have been. As soon as Heyman disappeared, Big Show, I mean, yes, obviously he's the giant 500 pounds, but he wasn't as intimidating. Well, Heyman shouting and screaming for him. And that's the sort of person that someone like Ronda Rousey needs. Because great in the ring, she's a great wrestler, already we've seen that, but she needs Heyman to voice for her. Turn her heel, have Heyman be her voice. But we've gone off topic completely, obviously. But yeah.
I think we've done pretty good, actually. We haven't gone off topic that much at all. I think we've done really well, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley, we've got a split decision here. Kelsey's got, anyone's got a sensible, really. She's gone with Roman Reigns, because that's what Vince will probably go with.
We've been burned too many times on this, Matt. We're not prepared to do it again.
Yeah. So, yeah. That was fantastic. To have you on, Kelsey, fantastic. Would you mind just once, well, the first time on this show, but multiple times, please, now, plug your own show, please, and your entire career, in fact.
Oh, thank you so much. And again, I really loved being on. It was fun. Like I said, I don't do predictions. Like on my podcast, I always say, I don't ever do predictions, but for you, I was like, I'm going to do it. So that's how much I respect you. And so I just wanted to say thanks for having me on, because I respect you so much. And that's why I shed away my whole philosophy on predictions just for you.
But it
was a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. Where can people hear you and Kelsey?
They can find me on Twitter at SuperKickinIt. That's with a G. So it's spelled SuperKickinIt. They could find my podcast, which is called Two-Faced Wrestling Talk, at Two-Faced Pod. That's TwoFacedPod. And just go to TwoFacedPod.com. That's where you could find how to listen to us. And soon it'll be changing. Because here's my big announcement I just said on Twitter today. Our podcast is going to be carried from now on, starting next week, by WrestlingInc.com, which is huge for us. Like, it's going to... Gosh, it's going to bring us to so many people. We're so excited. My co-host Paul and I were flipping excited. I mean, I don't know how else to say it besides just that. We're so eager to get started, to go to a new audience. And I think we're doing something that a lot of people aren't doing. I think we're mixing pop culture and wrestling. That's only one of the things we do, but we also talk a lot about, you know, almost every promotion that there is. We also do interviews. So we have a lot of different unique things. And a lot of people say, like, I like the way you present wrestling. And that's what I try to do, make it fun and different. I always think about how can I do things the best way? How can I present stuff in a unique way where people won't get bored? So I'm always up for suggestions. If you want to tweet at me, like I said, super kicking it. Also, you can find me on YouTube, which I do a lot of ridiculous videos. Like, I had a Space Jam wrestling crossover where I made a song about wrestling. Like, what if Space Jam was remade about wrestling? So I called it Space Slam, and I spoofed the whole Space Jam song, and it was like the stupidest thing I've ever done, but one of the greatest things I've ever done, because it was so ridiculous, but it had a lot of wrestling references that I worked so hard on it. So you could see all kinds of stuff like that on my YouTube channel, Super Kicking It with Kelsey. Kelsey is spelled K-E-L-S-I. Just search for that on YouTube. It'll pop right up. There's a lot of other stuff. Like, I've got a Christmas carol all about the Final Deletion. It's really weird. It's like a sing-along. It's really funny. All kinds of stuff. Like, for one of the 316, you know, everyone celebrates 316 because of Stone Cold. I did the whole thing where I knocked two beers together and I did like a Stone Cold stunner kind of. It's on my YouTube channel. Just really fun, ridiculous things. And then I do talk seriously about wrestling too. Again, Matt, thanks for having me. And it's also great to talk to Graham, who we've always tweeted back and forth, but now we're actually talking and it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Graham, thank you once again for jumping on and helping us out this week. Especially, and thanks to Little Jackson, he's probably sound asleep by now, like I should be. But thank you so much again.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm also going to plug Kelsey as well. I want to say thank you as well while I got the chance, Kelsey. Mason, what really started us in podcasting was trying to find something that was PG. And you've always embodied that, and we really like that. That's something that we can both listen to together. And I know Matt's trying to do that PG thing as well, and we've certainly managed to stick with that as well. This really has been sort of the PG group together. So thank you for doing that. And also, if you can, go and support Kelsey on Patreon as well. I'm a Patreon follower as well, so we might as well give that a little plug there as well. And, of course, you can listen to Mason if he starts behaving himself at MGB Wrestling Pod, and you can follow me at Mr. Bagshaw.
You can follow.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you for those sweet words. And thank you for being a Patreon supporter. I always forget about that, but you're the best. Thank you so much. I enjoy you and Mason. And I love being here with you guys right now. PG Crew.
Hey, always a good thing. Yeah, you can catch me on Graham's show next week, stepping in for Mason for the last time, hopefully. hopefully for the last time. You can find me at the Matt Attack UK. You can find all the shows on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. You've got Ringside Rant, you've got View from the Top Rope, you've got Caden Uncaged, and of course you've got the MGB Wrestling Podcast. That's it for this month. Stay tuned for after the end of this podcast. You will hear Jackson's picks in full from Graham. I'll be attaching it to the end. From all accounts, it's an absolute hoot. So yeah, thank you once again. That was Super Kicking of Kelsey. That was Graham Bagshaw on behalf of Jackson Bagshaw. I am Matt Willis. We're out of here.
All right, I got Jackson with me. He was going to make his picks for your show, Matt. Do you want to say hi, Jackson?
Hi!
All right. Can you say hi to Kelsey as well?
Hi!
All right. So the first match that they want to know who you think is going to win is from the pre-show. So do you think it's going to be Sanity, or do you think it's going to be New Day?
Sanity.
Sanity. Okay. Okay. Match one. Nia or Alexa?
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss. Good job, buddy. High five. Seth Rollins or Dolph Ziggler?
Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella or Oscar?
Oscar.
Okay, tag teams. Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt or the B-Team?
B-Team.
Okay, Jeff Hardy or Shinsuke Nakamura?
Jeff Hardy.
Bludgeon Brothers or Team Hell Heck No?
Team Hell Heck
No. You are the second team? Heck no.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good, buddy.
High five. They said, no.
They do. Braun Strowman or Kevin Owens?
Kevin Owens.
Okay. Finn Balor or Baron Corbin?
Finn Balor.
Okay. You ready? All right. Match 10. That's right. AJ Styles or Rusev?
Rusev.
Rusev. Is that because it's Rusev Day?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, last one. This could be an important one. This could decide the whole thing. Roman Reigns or Bobby Lashley?
Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley. Wow, I was surprised by that. Why don't you think Roman Reigns is going to win?
Good Bobby Lashley is.
I can't argue with that little buddy. Give me a high five. Good answer.
Yeah, so thank you once again to Superkicking of Kelsey, Graham Bagshaw, on behalf of Jackson Bagshaw, for being on the Matt Attack this month. You guys were all amazing. You're all Matt Attackers. And to all of you Matt Attackers out there, enjoy Extreme Rules. Try not to be as cynical as I am about it. And I'll see you next month for SummerSlam with Sam and Dan, and I hope you'll be back for that as well. I am Matt Willis. This was the Matt Attack. We're out of here.